Okay, great. Well, thanks for coming, everybody. This is George from Republic Magazine. I just wanted to welcome everybody to our special webinar we're doing today on the debt crisis and some of the solutions that we're going to need to be able to pull through these things. We've got a very, very special guest with us today. We've got Igor, which is the president and the founder of TopScore Enterprises. He's been one of our advertisers for some time, and I asked him, invited him to come on to do a webinar to help our readership and our membership deal with some of the issues surrounding foreclosure, surrounding credit problems, cancellation of debt, and a lot of other issues. I mean, Igor is definitely top-notch in the field and very respected. So, I want to definitely open this up so that folks can, learn about another patriot like, ourselves that's out there trying to do a lot of good for people and give you a viable alternative to some of the shady operators that are out there doing things right now. So anyway, I'd like to go ahead and welcome Igor to the call. I would try to pronounce your last name, but I know I'm going to mess it up.
It's okay. I'll do that for you. It's Malevsky.
There you go. That was easy.
Okay. And I'm glad to be here. I always like sharing knowledge that can help others, especially people who are open to it and want to take charge of their life and become independent.
Excellent. Well, you know what? I want to jump right into the meat and potatoes of this thing. What's going on in the credit markets and, that you can see, and how are people getting taken advantage of right now?
Well, you said the right word, markets. It's all a big business. And unfortunately, people are commodities in this business. They're basically just using different techniques to make it seem as if they can help you. All they're doing is really just creating another business and taking people's money under the pretense of helping them. And one of those major industries is the debt settlement industry. They're, in essence, like a collection agency in disguise. Because that's, a lot of people think, the main way to get out of debt is to settle it. But they don't know that there's other options. And settling with them is kind of like settling with a collection. They just basically take your money on top of what you owe to the creditors. They're going to charge you fees in order to provide a service. For example, they can charge monthly fees. And they're creating an escrow account that will be collecting monthly fees from you, supposedly to settle with the creditor. But they won't tell you that the creditor can simply refuse to settle and still initiate a lawsuit. They will never guarantee that there will not be a lawsuit. So basically, here you are paying monthly to the debt settlement agency, and it turns out that there's still a risk you can be sued by the creditor, and your credit is still ruined, and you end up paying 30 to sometimes 50% of your debt anyway, plus the fees to these settlement agencies. And it's just predatory business practice, what they're doing. So that's one really big corruption to look out for. In some cases, settlement will work. You could even do it yourself when you have a very small amount of debt. Larger amounts of debt, it's simply not worth it.
Quick question for you, Igor. Where is this credit coming from? Because in my understanding, most of these credit comes from the banks. When I first bought a house or property, they said, we have a private investor that's putting up the money for the house and through the bank and everything else. Is that actually true when we deal with foreclosures and some of these property leaned kind of investments? Or is the bank just doing what they've always done and doing the fractional reserve thing and creating your loan out of thin air and then foreclosing upon your property? Is that still happening?
Well, it's both. It could. There are also private investors who do that, and there's still government agencies who work with that. So it's a mixture of both. And as you well know, that the combination of corporations and government is really defined as fascism.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's happening in this country. It's a scary word. But when a government takes over free enterprise, or when free enterprise mingles with the government, people become enslaved to the fullest degree. And one of those methods, one of the most powerful methods, is to take your money, whether it's through interest on the credit cards, whether it's through debt settlement agencies, whether it's through the creditor directly, they create this money based on nothing. But you, the listeners, become a slave because you work for this money, and you put a lot of your hard time and energy to create this this money, this capital, and the banks simply create it out of just about thin air, backed by nothing. So this, in essence, is a slavery, which is against the Constitution.
You know, I don't even see how that's possible, to create money out of nothing, loan it to somebody, and then to steal tangible property back.
It's possible if you deceive the people and make them think the money is real.
Right.
As and that's what
the
they
deception
did.
Going,
they deceived everybody, just about.
So obviously we're going to talk today about some of the solutions that you use that people need to know about, and what they can do to stave off these type of problems, because I think going into the financial meltdown, which we're already kind of in, people think that we're already starting to rise out of it. I personally believe that we're not even dipped our toe into it yet.
Well,
not to scare
you could,
everyone,
yeah.
But you know, it's hard to say. I mean, anything could turn around. It could not. But just based on the financials that are out there, I mean, things could go pretty bad, and we want to make sure we protect as many folks as we can. Now, before we get into some of the solutions, you know, I'd like to talk about debt, what it is, and why it's important to use a service and or just to clean up your credit itself. And what are the important issues that you need to know about, I guess, or people need to know about in general when it comes to maintaining and keeping a good credit rating and or getting rid or eliminating your debts that you currently have? What are some of the dangers they have and benefits?
Okay. Well, with personal credit, you really have to know what you're doing, because personal credit makes you personally responsible, and whatever's in your personal name, such as your home, your car, your bank accounts, you're putting all that on the line when you borrow against your personal credit. You have to use it responsibly. In terms of, I personally think personal credit should really be a fail-safe as a last resort backup option if you really need money in an emergency, or to have it clean and repaired for purposes of, you know, finding an apartment, for example. A lot of landlords check your personal credit, and if they, you know, if you have bad credit, they might reject you. Same with employers who are want to make sure that they're hiring, you know, a certain type of people, they will check the credit as well. So those are the main issues for having personal credit, and not to necessarily get yourself further into debt. It's just society is so tied into this credit, which I don't really agree with, but now we have to wisely use it to kind of tie ourselves out of it.
Okay. What are some of the things that can go wrong other than not being able to get a job or an apartment? Are there some other dangers that people are facing now when it comes to litigation and lawsuits and seizure of assets?
Well, yes, those dangers, if a person is not protected properly, and if the money, if the assets and money of the person are not protected, the banks will take everything you own. And Thomas Jefferson said that, you know, the banks will take everything you own, and will wake up homeless on the continent our forefathers, I believe he said, conquered. So that's exactly what's happening, and he wrote this a very long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
So he foresaw the principle on which the corruption thrives, deception through the financial system. And what happens to people who are not protected is they end up being sued most of the time, either by the creditor or by the collector. And, you know, if you don't defend yourself properly, which most people don't know how to do that, they will win a judgment. Now, this judgment, they can use this judgment to freeze your bank accounts, freeze your stocks or any other assets in your personal name, your home. In some cases, they might even, you know, take the title of your car if your car is worth enough to them. So whatever's in your personal name is always at risk. If it has any value, it's at risk in terms of being restrained, confiscated, or leaned against. This is very important. Our strategy allows a person to protect those important assets, even if the courts do sue you, and even if you do lose, there's nothing they can take.
Now, you mentioned several times that using the terminology personal credit, we all know that there's something called business credit out there and maybe other forms of credit. Are you suggesting maybe with that that there's other ways by setting up different credit profiles that you can protect yourself or different entities that you can structure?
Yes, absolutely. If you know how to use credit wisely, if you're not going to get yourself into a hole after you've been educated properly, you can create a business credit file, which is completely separate from your personal credit. It's based off of your business tax ID number, which is also a six-digit number. It's like a social security number except for your business. And you create a business credit file, which does not tie into your personal assets or money or anything. It litigates the liability that you have personally for the debt.
Okay. Now, a lot of banks nowadays, I've experienced this personally, they will, the stockholders of the corporation, if you're incorporated or whatnot and you have a business, they'll hold you personally liable with a personal guarantee. And if your personal credit goes into a direction they don't like, they can actually shut down your credit lines for your business. I mean, is that legal or is there a way of stopping that from happening?
Well, you know, it's I think a lot of this stuff is illegal. Even if it became law, it doesn't mean it's right or correct. I mean, look at all the lobbying that goes on. Look at all the anti-constitutional laws that have passed that go against the grain of the Constitution. And, yes, it's a good point that personal guarantee on a business loan is really a personal loan in disguise. It's not a truly business loan. It's not a pure business loan if your Social Security goes on the application. A true business loan will never ask for your social. It will only ask for a tax ID.
So how would somebody that's going out to get to create this separate credit profile with obviously some background and whatnot, how do they go about protecting themselves to make sure that they're not actually personally guaranteeing some of these assets, things like that?
Well, if a person still wants to borrow, I don't know how many people out there still want to borrow money in terms of, getting into debt. I think more people want to get out of debt. But if you still want to, for a business venture or something, you can create that business credit by, you have to open a company first, obviously, and you have to file everything properly. You have to have a physical office location with a telephone line connected to your business. And then you go to Dun & Bradstreet, which is a credit reporting agency for business, Dun & Bradstreet. And also, I believe Experian also has a business credit reporting, a separate division. And you file for a number with them, a Dun's number, which allows you to now create a credit file for the business. I mean, there's other little steps in between. I don't want to get into too much on that now, but it is possible.
Gotcha. So let's take a step back to the personal asset side of things, and let's talk a little about foreclosure, because that's something that's happening a lot right now. What things can people do, or what processes do banks typically have to go through in order to take that property away from somebody, even if they're trying to do their best to make their payments, but maybe they just fall slightly short and they just can't make it happen? Is there a procedure that they must follow, or is there a way that people, the average person, can protect themselves against that kind of unruly foreclosure proceeding?
Well, first of all, obviously, if you're, having difficulties with the mortgage and you're not in foreclosure yet, we can help you arrange your finances, cut away some extra expenses like credit cards and stuff like that, and focus on paying your mortgage. If you default or if you don't pay your credit cards, at least you won't have your house foreclosed on and if you can make that mortgage payment. I think that we can do everything possible to help a person avoid the foreclosure, such as speak to the banks, negotiate with the banks to lower the interest rate without actually refinancing. And a lot of banks are open to that now. There's a lot of people doing mortgage modification. However, not everybody's an expert or really cares to help a person. They're quick to take the money. But it's all about making sure the case is presented properly to the bank, that the bank sees you really do need help and you really are willing to make the payments. You just can't really afford such a high payment. So we've seen them drop interest rates from 9 to 5%, even as low as 3.5% sometimes, just to help a person make his mortgage payment every month. Now, if you go beyond that, if you're already in the beginning stage of the foreclosure, there is one final thing that we can attempt to do, is to delay this foreclosure for about 2 years by challenging the bank and making them work to prove certain legal aspects of the validity of the loan, which significantly delays the whole foreclosure. In essence, the person stays in the house payment-free for that whole time. So instead of evacuating the house from 4 to 6 months, you can stay an extra 2 years or so, and prepare that way. That's like a last
resort. What would
be
the benefits of doing that for the homeowner?
Well, you're staying in your house longer and you're not paying the mortgage for 2 years, as opposed to, leaving the house and going to rent. You could save up some money in that time period, make some plans. It buys you time, basically. It buys you time and saves you money.
So in that kind of a scenario, would the person that's doing the delay processing, would they be required to pay a lump sum at the end of the 2 years in order to keep the property, or would it just be kind of a delay process so they can save money to get themselves back on their feet?
As far as the mortgage modification, you would be getting new terms with the loan. You wouldn't really if there's any monies that are due, and they grant you the modification, the money that's due is going to be added into the new mortgage they give you. So if you owe $100,000 but you missed $6,000 worth of payments, your new mortgage is going to be $106,000. You're going to include that in there. They're not going to make you pay for it. They're going to include it in the new terms with a lower rate and a lower payment. So modification is the way to go if you want to stay out of foreclosure. And in many cases, sometimes your house is a really big liability. Most of us are our tenants to the bank. We think we own the house, but we don't own it until we pay out the mortgage. I don't know how many listeners here can actually say they paid off their mortgage, and if they did, I commend them.
So as far as the mortgage modification, what kind of options can people typically expect to be offered, or what kind of options are there as far as modifications? You mentioned lowering interest rates, maybe restructuring payment situations. Mm-hmm. What kind of things go into a modification?
Well, they can also, what you just mentioned, in addition to that, they can also, in some rare cases, lower the actual principal, the amount you owe. They can cut that down as well. They can also work with the term of the loan. So the main goal is to restructure your whole mortgage internally. You're not going to get a whole new loan. They're just going to adjust your current loan to make your mortgage more affordable.
Gotcha. Now, we were talking about foreclosures and some settlements and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's another one that comes up a lot in these type of conversations, and that is bankruptcy. Can you talk a little bit about bankruptcy, how that affects you short-term and long-term?
Well, sure. It's a very big subject. People seem to think bankruptcy is solid and it's something that can really help them. But if you go back to 2005, I believe it was the summer of 2005, they changed the bankruptcy laws. I think Joe Biden had a role in that. They made it more difficult for people to escape their debt obligations through a Chapter 7 bankruptcy. They created something of a means test, which measures your income and your expenses. And pretty much the only people that currently qualify for Chapter 7 are those who already have nothing to lose. If you have assets and a job and you have some income coming in, most of the time you will get removed into a Chapter 13 by the courts. So here you are filing for a Chapter 7 and you don't qualify. You just spent the money on the attorney who charges, sometimes they charge up to $3,500 now because people are desperate. So they charge you all this money. They don't guarantee anything. And you end up being removed into a Chapter 13 where you're still forced by the government plan to repay your debts. So now you have two bankruptcies on your credit. You're out a couple of $1,000s for the process, and you're still stuck with your initial debts under a new payment plan, though. And your credit,
those
of course, is ruined.
Does bankruptcies last about how long?
It's,
and can
bankruptcy,
they be removed?
You mean on the credit?
Yeah.
A bankruptcy stays for 10 years. And it's very difficult to remove the bankruptcy.
Okay. Now, you'd mentioned a couple different chapters of the Great Bankruptcy Bible, chapter 7, 11, and 13. Can you explain, maybe in brief, what the difference is between those are to people that don't really know?
Sure. Chapter 7 is when your debts are discharged. In other words, your debts are forgiven and you don't have to pay anything back. And your assets are protected in terms of the creditors can't come after you. So any lawsuits are stopped. Chapter 13 is basically like a reorganization. If you don't qualify for Chapter 7 to get your debts discharged, they will remove you and put you into a Chapter 13 where the judge is pretty much going to say, we have a new payment plan for you to pay out your debts. So one is a complete discharge of your debts, which is Chapter 7, and Chapter 13 is a reorganization, or it's kind of like a new payment plan.
And Chapter 11?
Chapter 11, I believe, is for business.
Business. And that would be like a combination of the two, or that would be one or the other?
Well, I'm not really an expert in that particular area. I think if anybody needs to know more information on the bankruptcies, they could speak to an attorney specifically. But I deal with just helping people understand the ones that pertain to them personally, Chapter 7 and 13.
Gotcha. So as far as options other than going to bankruptcy, we talked a little bit about some things, settlements and other things. Are there other options for folks if they just feel like they're backed in a corner and they don't see the economy getting better? Maybe they've lost their job. Maybe they're just not making as much as they did before, and they're slowly slipping into a situation that where they're starting to hear and think about these terms, these bankruptcy and foreclosure and things,
mm-hmm.
and it's starting to stress and weigh upon their lives. What are their options if you could lay those things out?
Well, first of all, it's very important to understand the risks of every option that you take before you jump into it, because the facade always looks appealing, but you have to look deeper and always ask for concrete examples of how the process works. You know, the details is where you can really see if it's something that you need or not. Whoever tells you just do this will help you, it'll work. You have to always ask how. Please explain all the steps to me, explain all the risks, all the advantages. And you have to be fully informed before you make a decision on something like that. I'm bringing up the risks here to you. And another thing I want to say about the bankruptcy is that a lot of people try to do the bankruptcy to save their house from a foreclosure. And what we've been noticing lately is that it did work before, but now the banks who the mortgage belongs to, they go ahead and ask for a release of the bank, of their inclusion in the bankruptcy. So even though you file Chapter 7, the banks can go ahead and exclude themselves anyway and continue with the foreclosure. So the bankruptcy will not necessarily stop the foreclosure. That's what I'm trying to say, because the banks will go to the courts and they will request that they be omitted from that particular proceeding. And we've seen that happen in some instances.
So you'd mentioned a little bit about the attorneys taking advantage of people early on and charging them lots of money for one particular type of service, and then unbeknownst to the consumer, the government throws them into another different classification. They got to spend more money. Can we talk a little bit about some of the people that are taking advantage of folks out there, whether it's in the debt consolidation arm of things, whether it's in the credit repair stuff, and maybe even also some of the bankruptcy and attorney, the law stuff?
Well, yeah, you always have to understand that it's their main priority most of the time. I mean, there are good guys out there, and you might qualify in some instances, but majority of the businesses that deal with bankruptcy, settlement, consolidation actually cause more problems than solutions. There was an article in Smart Money magazine. I can provide a link to that, whoever's interested, that states that 12 states are currently prohibiting for-profit debt management services, which includes debt settlement. 12 states, it's illegal now to make money on debt settlement. That's how much of a risk settlement consolidation is, because it really, it's really damaging on all aspects. And the goal is to save money. If you're going to end up paying more money for their service in addition to paying the banks and still having a risk of being sued, I think that's a big red flag there. There's a lot of guys and people out there who are taken advantage. We hear stories every day how a person has signed over a power of attorney to the collector or to the attorney, and you know, nothing has been done. They're being sued now. They've been paying for 2 years into this program, and this bank is suing. So it's really, you're in a helpless situation at that point, because you've invested so much money into a service you thought will work, but you didn't understand the risks involved. And, you know, part of what I do is educate people on all the aspects, so they're fully informed before they make a decision.
What would you say some of the red flags would be when being contacted either via by email or phone, or even if you pick up the Yellow Pages and call someone to get help? What are some of the red flags that should make you think twice about working with some of these people?
If they are rushing you or pushing you to sign up, if they seem desperate, if they sound like a telemarketer, they're trying to pitch you their product, rather than professionally speak to you as a person-to-person, trying to understand your situation and have a more sympathetic approach, that's always a red flag when you feel like you're being treated as a commodity. How can a person like that really care for you? Another red flag is when they have a service that's advertised for a very small monthly fee. And it says that, you know, it's unlimited amount. Like, for example, for credit repair, there are services advertising unlimited amount of disputes for a small monthly fee. The problem here is that they're suggesting by their own advertisement that it can take an unlimited amount of time to get the work done. And if you're with them 3-4 years, that small monthly fee adds up to a really huge sum. So that's another red flag, a small fee with unlimited timing to get the case done. Another aspect, another red flag would be if they're reluctant to explain the details of the process, like I mentioned before. If they don't want to explain to you exactly which laws they're using, you know, they're just trying to tell you to sign up and avoid getting into details, it's also an important aspect. Of course, you have to do your due diligence and ask for proof, see some samples of the work they've already done, or maybe get a reference or two that you can call in various states and see how other people that were satisfied can speak for this company. So it's very important you do this work, because it can cost you a lot of money if you don't.
So what about looking into Better Business Bureau, doing some searching on the internet for company names, any kind of licensing? Is there some other due diligence that folks can do to just kind of check out the people that are supposedly offering the pie-in-the-sky solution? One of the reasons I'm saying that is I've gotten some comments here that have come in so far on the webinar.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And a lot of people are talking about some of the laws, and I've heard this a lot where people say, all you got to do is you just got to say this. All you got to do is just present them with this piece of paper, and you just walk away from the table, and you don't ever have to pay your mortgage again. I've heard a lot of that. And, you know, some of that's, you know, patriot mythology.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it is – most of the patriot mythology is grounded in at least a portion of fact and a portion of truth.
I understand.
It's not necessarily – it doesn't necessarily work even if it's true and legal.
Absolutely. I've heard that over and over again, but I've never actually heard somebody who was completely successful in doing that. I see a lot of attempts, and I see all of them just about end up in failing. Why? Because the system is bigger than us. It's made – the laws that we're using are actually their laws. They created these laws, for example, the Uniform Commercial Code. It was really created for the business world by this by people who were interested to make business work. So you're fighting against a machine that's really geared against you from the start. You know, so – I mean, the courts even, a lot of judges, I mean, they're working for the state. Who selects the judges? Who appoints them? You have to look to the courts. Who appoints the judges? You know, who pays the judges? The state. And where does the state get its money? They get it from people, through the taxes, through different fees. So you got to really think, I mean, the judge, is he really unbiased for the most part, or is he really just part of the system playing a role of a collector? And, you know, that's – you really have to be careful with that, because the courts are really right now just processing centers for taking people's assets.
Now, I want to actually touch upon that. I'm glad that you brought the thing about the judges. But before I do, as far as the legal ramifications of what could happen to you in these situations, I want to just remind everyone that these webinars are brought and made available because of folks that support us at Republic Magazine and Restore the Republic. So on the webinar page, if you guys are interested in continuing to support us, we have a sponsor Patriot program where you can donate any amount of money to help us get pieces, the magazines itself out to the hands of activists that maybe can't afford them, that we can get the message out to folks about these type of issues. And if you want to take this upon yourself, which a lot of people do, if you can click on one of the magazine covers on the webinar or go to republicmagazine.com and just go ahead and grab a stack of magazines and pass those out to drop them in waiting rooms, doctor's offices, any place where there might be another stack of magazines strewn about a table, that's the best place to put them because they get an unbelievable amount of eyeballs hitting them on this issue. So I would just encourage folks to help support these type of things. But I want to jump right back into this. Now, you started talking about the judges, the legal aspect of things. Can people be put in jail? And if so, under what circumstances? I grew up hearing that there's no debtor's jail, quote unquote. But
Well, so far, it's a very good question. A lot of people are afraid of not paying their debts for the very purpose of, not going to jail, not having their freedom, physical freedom taken from them. So far, I have not seen anybody go to jail for not paying their credit cards or loans. It's a civil matter. It's currently governed by civil procedure. So all they can do is come after your assets. However, I have heard I have seen news articles, I believe in Florida, where people who owe courts money, court fees and maybe child support fees, things that have to do with the state, that they have been putting them into prison for some time to scare them, I guess, or to create a precedent for other people to pay. So they are putting people in jail who owe money to the state, even small court fees, for the principle of scaring people, but I haven't seen anything with credit cards at all.
Now, you wrote an article for us, I believe, called A Path Out of Our Credit Nightmares, and if I'm not mistaken, that was in issue number 7 of Republic Magazine, which was the Blueprint for Restore America.
Way back. Right.
Yeah. It's a great article, and it really talks about some of these the things that we're discussing right now and offers some solutions. Again, just a quick reminder to folks, you can get that copy of the magazine, the digital version, for free, or you can order the print copy because we still have some of them left. If you go to republicmagazine.com and you sign up for the digital subscription, which is 100% free, you can actually get access to every single one of our back issues we've ever produced, even the ones that are sold out that you'll never get a hard copy of again. There's a little drop-down box, and there's also, I think, a place where you can opt in on the front page to get access to that. And just so you know, again, that's issue number 7. And a couple of the other issues that you might want to take a look at, issue number 4, which we talked about America's financial collapse, as well as issue number 10, which is Grand Theft America, talks about the bailout and what was coming with that. I mean, these are things that, we're not Nostradamus by any means, but it's not hard to predict where things are headed. And being able to try to protect ourselves from that.
It's just the cause and effect. I mean, if you're going to drop a rock, it's going to fall to the ground. I mean, before it happens, you already know that. So, I mean, if you see the governments are spending so much money by printing it and, the Bernanke can't even explain where it went. He just says it went to the central banks of Europe. But what happened to the money after that, he doesn't know. They're bankrupting the country. They're bankrupting every single one of us by bankrupting the country and making us pay back for this debt, which is in essence a form of slavery. It's against, I believe, the 13th or I don't remember exactly, the 13th or the 14th Amendment of the Constitution. It says there shall be no involuntary servitude in America. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what it is. We're being deceived to serve the government.
Well, I want to take some questions here in just a moment, so just to give a quick reminder about the questions, and we're going to talk about one more topic here before we open that up. But if you want to actually submit a question, you can go to republicmagazine.com/webinar if you're on the live webinar. If you listen to the replay, of course, the questions opportunity has ended, so don't do that. But if you go put in your question for Igor, we'll actually get right into that, and I'll try to get through some of those. I've got about, let's see how many are listed here. I've got about 19 now, that have come in, and I will try to go through that list, and we'll get through as many of those as we possibly can. But,
and I just
want to
remind
we,
people that, even after, if their questions don't get answered, they could always get in touch with me or one of my assistants, and we can help them with that.
Absolutely. You know what? Let's just go ahead and take that quick opportunity. Igor, do you want to give everybody your website and your if you have a phone number, too, they might be able to reach you?
Sure. The phone number is 718-615-0123. 718-615-0123. And the website is debtcrisissolutions.com.
Okay. Great. So as far as I lost my place here in my notes.
All right. There's a lot of questions, like you said.
Yeah, there are tons of them here. I'm going to try to open up the phone call, too, if possible, but I'm going to try to get through some of the webcast questions because they're a little bit easier to sift through.
Sure.
Right off the bat. Now, just before we get into the question area, you had mentioned that there's some ways of people protecting themselves asset-wise, asset protection, and I've seen a lot of these seminars, and I'm sure a lot of people have, where they say, we've got the silver bullet on asset protection. Can you talk a little bit about some options that are available to people to protect some of their assets from this before you get into trouble? And just to make a clarification, when you're already in the legal process and when you've already started this process itself, you can't run and try to get asset protection. It never works like that.
Yeah, usually. Especially if you're already being sued, we can't do much in terms of protecting your assets because they're already close to getting, you know, putting a lien on it. But usually before you get sued, before it gets to that point, you know, if you know where and when the thieves are going to strike, you can prepare ahead of time. But it's very hard to outbeat them once it's already in the court. You know, it's really a huge race at that point.
Right. And just to clarify your earlier statement, Amendment 13 is the slavery
Okay,
law.
Thank you.
I just quickly looked that up.
Great.
So
a lot of people forget
constitution,
that.
Yeah. Everyone should get a pocket constitution. Most cases, they're free. You can order them online. Just look for pocket constitutions on the web. You should definitely have one with you. I keep one in my desk drawer, and I keep one in my car all the time.
Awesome.
But anyway, we started talking about the asset protection.
Yeah.
Could you go into some details on what people can do to protect themselves pre having to deal with the legal issues?
Sure. I mean, there's something, for example, if you want to protect your bank account, if it's currently in your personal name, it's exposed. So what you would have to do is change that, open a company, a holding company, which is going to create a bank account, is going to be in your company's name instead of your personal name. And you can continue using it as you use your personal account, except it's going to shield you from, you know, from any court actions. So they're not going to be able to freeze those accounts because they're not in your personal name. And we can also help set that up properly to make sure that everything is done correctly. And this company is not going to be doing any business, so there's no tax liability either. It's just, you know, for the bank account.
Gotcha. Now, when you talk about holding companies, are there certain types of holding companies? I know there's like LLCs and LLPs, and there's C corporations, S corporations, or in states. Every state you can offer these different types of entities. What would you recommend, or what options are there for people?
Well, we've distilled all the different options to the most effective nationwide. I mean, this works in every state. You know, it's LLC that is simply registered as a holding company, and it's not liable for any taxes. And if it's properly set up, you take all your documents to the bank and open a business account. And like I said, it's not liable to any taxes, so you don't have to actually pay any taxes on the money. You can use it as you use your personal account, except without the liability, without the risk of having your money frozen.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a one-size-fits-all, because every state you can do that. There's also, I mean, you can do trusts and stuff like that, but it's more expensive and the laws vary from state to state. So I can't really comment on that too much. I have a more universal approach that works for everybody.
So folks that already have, like say they already have an LLC or a C corporation, and maybe they're not sure that it's set up properly, is that something that you help people kind of guide them through, taking a look at their current entity status if they have one?
Yes, absolutely. We can look at the whole situation the person's currently in, make sure that he doesn't have any risks with the IRS by the situation that he's in, and fix anything that's that needs fixing. And that's
gotcha.
You know, that's for the bank account. Now, to protect your home, you know, from any liens, if you still have equity in the house, because a lot of homes have lost so much equity. But in essence, what you're protecting is the equity, If the creditors sue you, they put a lien, you know, they take the equity. We can protect the equity by placing a friendly lien on a home, which blocks everyone else. And I can explain that more to people who are interested if they call me, you know, after the seminar or email me through the website, and I can explain more. But it's a very effective way of using their own system against them.
Nice. One of the questions that's come in here is David from Lakeport, California says, so what's the best route for somebody with credit problems? And I'm hoping, or I'm assuming that he's talking about setting up some of these holding corporations. Are you going to have, if people have credit problems already, are there any barriers that they need to get around as far as setting up some holding companies or other things like that?
Well, it depends what he needs to use his credit for. And also, I mean, if what his goals are, if he still needs personal credit, I would start with challenging the credit bureaus and making sure that all the information there can be verified. I think about 80% of all credit reports have errors, and the bureaus can't verify it, so they end up deleting the accounts of the credit. But I would really need to know more what the goal of the person is, and maybe there's something new I can suggest that that he's not aware of yet.
Okay. Here's another really great question that's coming in from Pete at Big Oak Flat. He says, what is, I'm going to mess up your name, I know it. Mr.
Molesky? Yeah.
Oh, I got it, yes. Finally, the first time. What does Mr. Molesky think about the safety of investing in gold or silver stored in a gold money account?
Well,
or,
this is, I mean,
just in general, gold and silver.
Yeah, I'm going to say right now, I'm not going to give investment advice, but I can say what I do and what I, how I take the steps for myself and my loved ones is I personally think if the gold and silver is not in your personal possession, it's as good as gone, because they can manipulate the papers or the accounts that you currently have them in. You're not in control still. It seems like you now have gold and silver. However, there's still a risk that something can happen with the markets, or the company can go out of business. And I think you need to have. I personally have it in possession, and I don't trust anybody with that, because I've seen how unstable the markets are. And personally, gold and silver, the best options right now to save your money from inflation, and possibly make some money in the future.
Well, since we're talking about gold and silver, if you don't mind me asking, since the banks and the creditors can come and take assets that usually are put up for lien, you know, against secured debts, what would they be able to take coins, gold, silver? Would they be able to take bullion? Have you heard of things like that? Or numismatic, where it's more a collectible kind of coins, if people start to convert their money into that?
I haven't heard that, unless it's in some kind of a brokerage account or some kind of a banking institution, then they have a direct access to that, or if it's exposed through some paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's why, again, I don't, you know, trust these institutions. But if what they don't know, they can't take. Personally, gold and silver are something that you can get without any trace necessarily if you buy from a direct dealer, a local dealer, cash and carry type of thing. So you really have to trust yourself only. If you trust other people with your money, whether it's gold and silver, you're exposing yourself to a high risk.
Mm-hmm. John in Orion, Illinois is asking, should I liquidate my 401k and take the penalty to invest, in gold and silver to save himself at this point?
Well, we can discuss that in more detail. It involves a lot more to see his whole situation, if it's really worth it. Giving an answer just without analyzing further, I don't think I would be doing the right thing, because I might miss something important. So I could always answer that if he calls our office. I can try to do my best to find a solution for that.
Well, just kind of following up on John's question, are 401ks or other retirement accounts eligible to be liened?
I don't believe so. If you have, I believe pensions, social securities are not. However, 401ks, the laws vary from state to state. There is a risk. I would try to I wouldn't keep much money in the bank because the instability of the markets, if the stock market crashes or they call a bank holiday, which is quite possible in order to reorganize the banking system, you might not have access to your money. And CDs, for example, are stock market instruments that if the stock market goes down, the CDs are gone. So you really have to ask yourself, do you trust this system with your money? Do you have a reason to? Or do you trust yourself more with your money? Where is there a higher risk, keeping your money in a safe deposit box or hiding it in a place where no one knows? You have to take personal responsibility for your money. If you're going to trust others, then you're taking a chance that they might be irresponsible or they might get shut down or worse. You know, you might end up with legal problems if you go to the wrong place.
Nathan in Plantation is asking your opinion on something. I'm going to read the question. It's about two sentences long here. When is hyper or extreme inflation likely to hit, and will the dollar be rejected as reserve currency anytime soon? If soon, will a new currency be introduced? Would it be gold-based or fiat? Your opinion on that?
You know, since they can't control the gold so well, I don't think they're really going to have a gold currency. If it's gold-based or not, we have no way of proving that, even if they say it is, and I do not trust what they say until they prove it. They can't even prove where the gold in Fort Knox is, so I don't know if we can trust them if they say it's backed by silver or gold if they give us papers again. So it's a risky choice to make. I think that, I don't know if anybody saw, I think it was a week or two ago, the Russian President Medvedev showed everybody on national television a new currency coin. It's called United in Diversity. On the back of the coin, it says United in Diversity. And they already minted some test coins in Belgium, in the Belgium Mint. I don't know if you heard of that, George. Have you heard of that?
Yeah, I saw a news broadcast about that.
So they are, I mean, they are playing some game with this currency. Obviously, the dollar is not going to be lasting too much longer because the world is losing trust and faith in the dollar. They keep printing the money, which is making the general flow circulation worthless. How fast the hyperinflation will come, it's very hard to say, but I wouldn't bet my money to wait long for that. I would take steps now. It's better to be early than late to prepare for that.
Gotcha. A question from Manny in Philadelphia. It kind of goes back to the credit repair issue. And this is what Manny's saying. What do you think about companies who ask you to willfully stop paying credit cards and deposit what you would have paid into a bank account in another state to be used to pay a fraction of your debt once the company represents you, along with several other credit card holders in one action?
You know, whenever any company asks you to stop paying your credit cards, I think you have to make that decision yourself. If you do, I think the money that you're saving should go in your pocket or into gold and silver and to prepare for a survival in the coming days while silver and gold is still cheap, because if it goes up to $2,000 an ounce or silver goes up to $50 an ounce, which is quite possible because of hyperinflation, I think you would have wished that you would have spent this money you saved from not paying your credit cards on things that are more valuable and less risky and more definite.
Okay. JJ in Riverside is asking, what is the best way to understand and correct one's credit score? He's been trying for years and there's no change.
Well, you know, I'd have to analyze the whole report from A to Z. I have to see the ratios of credit versus debt, which is usually a big thing. If you have too much debt taken out and you don't have any available credit, that'll really drop your score right there, even if you're paying on time. I also don't recommend closing any old accounts. So if you paid off your credit card that you've had for 5-10 years, don't close it. You could pay it off, but don't close it because you're closing the credit history that it's built. So your score will drop. So I would have to look at all the details of the whole credit, and then I can come up with a custom solution. And we can do that for free as well before, before a client makes a decision.
Okay. Now, Jeff in Reno is asking a good question, too, and he's saying, do you see an advantage in going with a short sale over a foreclosure? obviously, we know that the short sale, in a lot of cases, in some cases, it stays in your credit too, the difference.
It's slightly better than a foreclosure because if you're planning to get a property sometime in the future, your credit's not going to have, hopefully it's not going to have the foreclosure mark, which it's kind of like a voluntary surrender. If you surrender your vehicle voluntarily before the lease is up, it doesn't show repossession necessarily. It shows voluntary surrender. So it might help with your chances of obtaining something in the future better than if you had a foreclosure.
Okay. Let's see. There's one other question here. Christine in Palm Beach is saying, are you aware of how commerce really operates and that upon the signing of a promissory note, the mortgage is actually paid and the money is created and the banks don't loan any money? That was kind of probably in reference to the point we brought up earlier about some of the mythology. Not to say that this is mythology,
mm-hmm.
but how do you feel about those things?
Well, I know that what they call money to me, you know, to me it's not really money to begin with. Even the paper stuff, the only reason it's money is because everybody believes that. But if it's manipulated artificially, it's not a free flow of money, and therefore it's not proper value, and it can't be money. Gold and silver is money. As far as this instrument, yes, there's a lot of corruption, and they do create money just about with a paper and pen. They create notes and different instruments that indebt you. And, you know, most of the money now is electronic anyway. So would you call that money an electrical impulse through a computer system? I mean, if you can call that money, then I guess she's right. But you got to understand, this is all deception. This is all like a matrix that we're in. And the only way to get out of it is to declare independence financially, energy-wise, you know, have our own food if possible. Because the monster will die when it can't feed off of your energy. The only way the government survives is when you need it. When you stop
mm-hmm.
needing the government will eventually die out and wither away.
So where do you see things going in the next few years, maybe even as much as a decade?
Well, there's definitely going to be more civil unrest. You can see the numbers already rising in crimes. There will be a higher level of foreclosures. Just to give everybody an interesting fact, I did some research, and in the 1930s, when the Depression started, actually in 1930, the unemployment percentage was 8.6%, and that was with about 90 million population. Most of the people owned their own farms, and nobody really had a second mortgage or credit cards. And the unemployment was 8.6 in 1930. Right now it's 2009. Unemployment is 9.7%. This is officially. I'm not even telling the real numbers. This is conservative government numbers. We already beat the Great Depression start by a whole percent. And our population is almost three times more. And people are in debt up to their ears. So this is really beyond the Great Depression. As Gerald Celente says, it's the greatest depression coming. So you have to act now.
Well, I want to give the folks that are listening to our conference call that haven't been able to put the questions in on the webinar page the opportunity to raise their hand. Just so everyone knows, when you raise your hand, if you have a question, you can actually hit star 2, and I'll see that on the back end here, and I can actually unmute your line if you have a question. Hit star 2. I'll give them just a few seconds here to pop in with some questions if they have some. Just make sure that they have the opportunity to speak as well.
Sure.
And in the meantime, can you talk again real quick about how people can get a hold of you after this? Because, I mean, I know there's just so many people that are going to have questions about what they need to do. And when we discussed this early on the phone, we talked about you know, having some special things for folks that are listening to the webinar through Republic Magazine.
Sure.
That kind of a situation that they can get in touch with you, get a free full consultation, which you said something that your folks actually stay on the phone with people for up to an hour sometimes talking
yeah,
to them
I've,
about
you
their
know,
situation.
I'm actually seeing some lately because people have so many problems. My assistants are very sympathetic to people. We're a small company and we really care for others. And our main motto is not to give someone that we wouldn't take ourselves or not to give a service that would do some harm to a person. And so, yeah, they do spend sometimes over an hour just speaking initially to the person, trying to understand their situation, trying to explain everything. And I think that it's very rewarding to know you're helping people in such a way.
Okay, so again, what was your web address again?
The web address is debtcrisissolutions.com. So every word fully spelled out, debtcrisissolutions.com. Or you may call our office to speak to one of our assistants or to myself if you really like. Number 718-615-0123.
Excellent. I've got one caller that has her hand raised. If you don't mind, we can take this call, and then we'll probably go ahead and have to wrap things up here.
Sure.
So this is the caller that's last four digits of the phone number is ending in 2403. 1 second while I unmute your line. Okay, you go ahead and talk, caller. 2403,
hi.
Last four. Yep, we got you.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Very well. I'm calling from England. It's Phil.
Oh, okay.
Excellent.
Welcome.
Thank you, and good luck over there on everything that's going on. But I just had a question. You might have heard that we won the Olympics over here for 2012, and of course the government are spending billions of pounds to develop the infrastructure for the Olympics, but they're borrowing the money. Now, surely the thing is that will reflect upon the population, because will they have to pay that money back in taxation? Is this a sort of a con in bankrupting the economy more by borrowing money to build infrastructure?
Well, if England is currently having financial problems already, spending so much money is either plain stupidity or it has a malicious intent.
Exactly.
So I think it's the second one. I think there's some reason for that. Like, I think you said that reason makes some sense. But their governments are spending out of control, and one of those reasons could be they want to create a need or a demand for a new global currency.
Yes.
Because if you don't have the demand, people are not going to be welcoming to this. But if you have the demand, it's going to be easier to sell the global currency. So that could be part of it.
Yeah, yeah. So I think we seem to have the same fight on our hands that you do over there, and I wish you every success.
Same to you. And again, the way to resist this would be to become independent and stand your own ground, have silver and gold, and you'll be less affected by what the government does.
Thanks very much. That's great advice, and enjoy the show. Thank you.
Thank you.
Great. Thanks for your call. Okay, so a couple last things here before we let Igor go. First thing is I just want to make sure that everyone remembers that, you know, we're funding these type of webinars that we're trying to do from now on every Tuesday and every Thursday, just like clockwork. We want to have this set up to where you know that every Tuesday or Thursday you can log on at 3 p.m. and get some really good information, stuff that's going to help you stave off some of the negative stuff that's coming, for sure, and keep you informed and educated, along with the articles and stuff that we produce in the magazine. So in order for us to keep this going, if you guys could just find it in your hearts to help us out and make sure that you get magazines out to people in your neighborhoods, local people, buy them, either drop them off, local beauty salons, gas stations, whatever it might be. Make sure that you get enough of them before they start to go out of print. Several of our issues have actually been completely out of print, and we usually don't do any reprints, except for our tax issue, which is, you know, that happens every year because that's a big issue with us. But also, you can also donate to our sponsor Patriot program. So if you don't have the time to distribute these type of materials to folks, you can still be an active Patriot by helping us get the materials in people's hands that do have the time. And you can actually find those forms right here on the webinar pages, or you can go to sponsoratpatriot.org. That's our Sponsor Patriot Program website. And you can go straight to republicmagazine.com to order a stack of magazines and or some of the other things that we offer folks.
I think, George, if I can jump in, I also want to comment on this, that
sure.
Everything is so digitalized these days that, you know, something really nice about holding a physical magazine in your hand and not being glued to the computer, because everything's kind of becoming virtual now. So I think having a magazine, this is how I personally feel, sometimes having a piece of paper that you can touch, that you could feel, is much more relaxing read than sitting on a computer. And that's just my opinion. So, you know, I really appreciate what you guys are doing with your magazine. and encourage people to look into it. Yeah.
Absolutely. And just so you know, you don't have to donate money to participate. If you're in a situation like the folks we're talking about right now, who's going through maybe foreclosures or bankruptcies, you can actually go get our digital copies of the magazines 100% free. You just go to republicmagazine.com and sign up for our digital subscription. You get the free digital magazines, all of them, all 15 that we have currently in our stock. And you can send those to people on the web. You can pass them out. You can print certain articles. You can drop articles off, maybe at local schools, local anything. I mean, you can still get involved, and you don't have to necessarily lay out a bunch of money. The magazines themselves are only a buck a piece. We ask people to get them in sacks of 25, 50, or 100. You can actually call us, too, if you have questions about doing a custom order or just you want to help or donate in some way. That number is 866-437-6570. Again, that's 866-437-6570, and we'll make sure we take care of you and get some magazines out either on your behalf or get them right out to you pronto. Usually it takes less than a week to get magazines out to folks. So anyway, Igor, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for coming on and talking to our readers and listeners about these issues that if you're not affected by this yet, there's a good chance that you might be in the future. And just knowing and being educated on the subject is going to save a lot of people's lives. You know, I've heard of several people recently, people that I've spoke to on the phone multiple times, just crumbling under the pressure of the financial institutions closing up and other things legally with taxes and things, and in some cases taking their own life. And it's horrible that there wasn't options given to them, and I really appreciate you taking your time to give people options.
Absolutely.
So they don't need to go down those paths.
And I'm honored to be able to share this with the audience here and with yourself, George. And we're open. Our lines are open for you guys. We'll help you find the solution. Let us take some of that stress and pressure off of you and explain to you the way out of this that will benefit you and prepare you and your family for the tough times. It can really mean a difference between thriving and surviving or not. So, please take action. There are ways to do it. You just have to make that decision to be in control, to become independent, and take action.
Now, just so everybody knows, it's on the live webinar. This webinar will be archived and posted on republicmagazine.com/webinar under the tab that says, or the link that says, previous webinars. So you can make sure that you can go back and listen to this over and over if you can. If you need to, send a link to family, friends, other people that need to hear this information so they can start getting active, not necessarily as activists, but just as Americans and patriots and take back the country, you know, one person at a time. Igor, I'd like to ask you again to repeat your web address and your contact information so that everyone has that. And if you haven't written it down yet, make sure that at least you pull out a little small piece of paper and write it down and maybe put it in your desk drawer because you might need it sometime.
Sure. The website is debtcrisissolutions.com. That's debtcrisissolutions.com, every word fully spelled out. And the phone number is 718-615-0123. And again, 718-615-0123.
Great. Well, thanks again for coming on. I want to remind everyone that we're going to have another webinar this Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. And we're going to try to get into a habit every Tuesday and every Thursday having a webinar at the same time so you can just put that in your schedule. Again, thanks for everybody taking the time to come and visit with us. And if you have more questions, definitely give Igor a call. His staff is well-versed, as well as he is, in all these topics. And he's a good person. I think it's very important to support other patriots and patriot-run businesses as well because it keeps us all kind of rolling.
Absolutely.
He definitely supports Republic, and you know we appreciate that. So anyway, thanks again. I'm going to go ahead and wrap up the call by ending the recording. And
thank you,
I'll
everybody.
Catch you guys all Thursday. Take care, everyone.
Take care.